Let's read from Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Paul says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We'll end our reading there and trust God to bless the reading of his word. We're going to give a special attention today to verse 16. That will be our text in focus that begins with the unforgettable words, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Every Christian bears the responsibility to proclaim the gospel of Christ. This action of proclamation sometimes assumes different names. Sometimes we call it witnessing, which refers to a person verbally sharing the gospel with another person, usually somebody who is lost. And we admire people who are very outgoing and appear to share the gospel with ease, even with strangers. At other times, we refer to it as one's testimony, which focuses on the lifestyle of a professing Christian. Based on their manner of life, they will either testify to the reality or the unreality of their personal faith in Jesus Christ. And when a person's life reflects the transforming grace of God, we say that person has a good testimony. So whether we choose to focus on a person's words or deeds, the fact remains that every Christian has the responsibility still to proclaim the gospel of Christ. With reverence to our deeds, the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. With reference to our light, our Lord says, "So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." The Apostle Peter, picking up on that theme, instructs us in 1 Peter 2:12 to have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Our good works are an essential part of our Christian witness. But no less essential than our works are our words. And that is where I want us to focus today. Referring again to the Apostle Peter, he tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Paul refers to Timothy making a good profession of faith before many witnesses. Now, that responsibility of Timothy's to profess the Christian faith before witnesses was not limited to just Timothy, but by extension applies to us all. In addition, the responsibility to verbally share the gospel is not limited to ministers, extroverts, or people with a really dynamic testimony. In this camp setting, we could say it's not limited to counselors. It's limited to every worker. All of us, whether young or old, man or woman, shy or outgoing, minister or layman, have the responsibility to proclaim the gospel of Christ. But therein lies the problem, does it not? For proclaiming the gospel is not always very easy, is it? I've already mentioned some of us who are shy. Not to condemn you, to try to empathize with you. Perhaps you don't enjoy striking up conversations with people whom you've never met. And it's always on an airplane, too, in the stories here. It's always on an airplane, which, you know, I don't want people talking to me on an airplane, okay? And it may be difficult for you to really bridge that gap of a stranger and strike up an airplane with them. Perhaps you feel this, that you have a limited knowledge of Scripture, and you won't be able to adequately answer all the hard questions that may come to you in an evangelistic encounter? What if this guy is a Muslim or an agnostic? I'm not trained in apologetics. What if I don't know what to say? And perhaps there are even some of us who really wonder deep down inside, just how effective is my little verbal witness going to be? Maybe you've shared the gospel hundreds of times, only to have people reject it, argue with you, get upset, laugh, mock, tease, and show absolutely no interest in being saved. And maybe you even begin to wonder if there's something else that we need to do in order to effectively win people to Christ. All of these situations present the Christian with the temptation to be ashamed of the gospel. It's that red-faced feeling you get when you get a good opportunity to testify the gospel of Christ, but you keep your mouth shut instead. And again, I'm not condemning you without empathy. I can't tell you how many times I've let those opportunities to witness just slip through my fingers. Perhaps I wanted to avoid the confrontation or the awkward moment. And in the face of such temptation to just clam up, to be ashamed, what are Christians to do? What is the secret to being able to boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ? I think Romans 1:16 gives the answer. When Paul declared that he was not ashamed of the gospel, he was doing more than just giving us an example. In those words, he was telling us the secret to having a bold witness that faithfully proclaims the gospel of Christ. So I wanted us to examine that secret today by looking at Romans 1:16 under this theme, boldly proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Boldly proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Look at it along three lines. The first is this. We have the evidence of a bold proclamation. The evidence of a bold proclamation. We begin actually with the end of the text. Look at the last words of verse 16 where Paul says, "To the Jew first, and also to the Greek," speaking of how the gospel works to everybody that believes, whether they be a Jew or whether they be a Greek. I want to ask this question first of all. Before we're concerned about obtaining a bold proclamation, let us consider this. Just what does a bold proclamation look like? How do we know whether we have it or whether we don't? Is it articulate and full of theological acumen? Does it have all the right answers for the atheist and the doubter? Does it describe the way of salvation with the eloquence of the Apostle Paul? Well, not always. Not exactly. Boldness does not always consist in volume, but rather in a faithful and consistent proclamation of the gospel, and here's the key words, to every man. You see, when Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel," he wasn't communicating by that phrase that he always perfectly articulated the gospel without any anxiety or fear. What he was saying was that he did not shrink back from proclaiming the gospel to every type of man, which he illustrates with that phrase, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's where we find the evidence of a bold proclamation. When we are able to proclaim the gospel to all types of people, without respect of persons, that's when we're faithfully and boldly proclaiming the gospel. When the person that we are facing does not determine whether or not we witness, that's when we're having a bold proclamation. Let me expand on this thought, show you what I mean. Some of us, like I've already mentioned, think that a bold proclamation of the gospel involves great confidence and courage. You speak with authority, your voice never cracks or wavers, and if you experience any fear, well, then you must be ashamed of the gospel. It's not necessarily the case. What did Paul himself confess in 1 Corinthians 2? That when he preached to the Corinthians, he did so in weakness and fear and much trembling. Fear is not the same thing as shame. At the same time, many of us mistakenly believe that if we stumble over our words or stammer in our speech or don't deal with every aspect of the gospel in perfect clarity, then we're being ashamed and our witness is worthless. Again, this is not so. When Paul preached to the Corinthians, he confessed that he did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Articulation is not the same thing as boldness. And thus, nervous lips are not the same thing as being ashamed. Let me put it like this. Sometimes the trip down the Romans road is a bit of a bumpy ride. All right, takes a little bit to get down it. There's struggle there. Here's where I'm going with all these examples. The evidence of a bold proclamation is simple. If we are faithful to share the gospel with the various types of people that God brings our way and gives us opportunity to speak to, then we're boldly proclaiming the gospel. Sometimes it's a defense of the truths of the gospel, and sometimes it's simply giving one's testimony, which we all can do. Because there really is no such thing as a boring testimony. We were all in need of God's grace, and we all can give witness to it. In fact, exciting testimonies, you have to be careful. You don't want to risk giving too much attention to man with the constant emphasis on the depravity of sin. You want to give glory to God for the saving work of Christ. When God admonishes us to not be ashamed of the gospel, what he is looking for is a faithful witness to all types of men. But that, in a sense, raises the same question, because again, we have to ask, okay, how do I obtain then the confidence to have such a bold witness? I mean, it encourages us a little bit to know I don't have to be perfectly articulate. If I'm nervous or a little fearful, that's okay. God will help. I'm not shrinking back from any man, but I still need that help, still need that confidence to be faithful to the gospel. How do I obtain it? The answer comes in our second point, which is this: the foundation for a bold proclamation. The foundation of a bold proclamation. This is the heart of the matter. What is the source of our confidence for unashamed gospel witnessing? Well, I think in this verse we see two foundational pillars upon which a bold proclamation of the gospel may be based. Here's the first: the person of Christ. The person of Christ. Notice what Paul says in the text. I am not ashamed, he says, of the gospel of Christ. Better yet, we could read that as the gospel about Christ. Christ is the chief subject, the principal topic of the gospel. And Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the good news that is about Christ. As he would say in 2 Corinthians 4:5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Philippians 3:3, we have no confidence in the flesh. And in context, he's saying our confidence is in the work of Christ. Here's the application. When we are focusing on God's provision, when we're focusing on the work of Christ, when we're focusing on what Jesus has done for us, it kind of shifts the whole focus of attention off of ourselves. We're the ones who are worried about looking funny. We're the ones who are worried about being ashamed. But when the topic is Christ, when we're speaking about the Lord Jesus, it moves all of the attention off of us and onto him. Here's the point. God is the one who is not ashamed of his son. God is the one who is not afraid of any opposition or shame. When we preach Christ, we're directing all of the attention away from ourselves and upon the person of Christ. It is not in us to vindicate that message and give the perfect defense. God's truth will stand. God will have his gospel be successful. The focus is on his son, and thus he is the object if there is of any opposition. The gospel is about Christ. So we found the bold witness first on the person of Christ. That's our topic. But secondly, we found it on the power of God. We base it on the power of God. Notice how Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, there's a great little idea in this verse. I want us to unpack it and see it. Notice how he begins that phrase with the word for. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. That word begs the question, why? You're not ashamed of the gospel, Paul. Why aren't you ashamed of the gospel? The answer? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. But what does he mean by this answer? Let's look at each phrase. He says the gospel is the power of God, meaning this, that it reveals the power of God. The gospel reveals God's power. God's power here in the sense of ability, that which God is able to do. It functions in the arena of salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it demonstrates God's ability to what? To save everyone that believes. Here's the summary. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is God's means of powerfully saving everyone who believes. Essentially, Paul is not ashamed of the gospel because he knows it works. He knows it works. He knows it never disappoints or frustrates anybody who places their confidence in Christ. And beyond that, he knows that the proclamation of the gospel, the witness that he gives, that is the very means that God is going to use to save sinners. Why aren't you ashamed of the gospel, Paul? Because it is God's powerful means of saving everyone who believes. That's why you don't have to have a perfect witness. That's why you don't have to fear a little bit of hesitation or worry or nervousness or doubt or stammering over your words. It is God's power at work when it comes to proclaiming the gospel. Those are the means that he is going to use. And I think this sets you free from fear. There's still going to be a little bit of nervousness. But it's the idea that this is the only thing that's going to work. And I can put confidence in it as a reliable witness. It's the person of Christ and the power of God. That's the foundation for a bold proclamation. So again, then we come thirdly and lastly to the reality of a bold proclamation. The reality of a bold proclamation. Here's my point here. That boldly proclaiming Christ's gospel in the face of opposition does not have to remain in the arena of possibility. It can be an everyday reality. Notice how Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Two areas in which it's a reality. First, it can be a reality for every Christian. It can be a reality for every Christian. Who's the speaker again? It's the Apostle Paul. Now, what do we know about Paul's life? Sometimes looking at Paul as if, and saying, hey, if Paul did it, you can do it, that doesn't always work. We seem to have him on a different level. But let's just kind of walk through what we know about Paul. Well, one time he was self-righteous, an enemy of Christ and the gospel, and incredibly misguided in his understanding of the law. To put it plainly, he was a sinner. And perhaps he, of all people, he was the least likely candidate to be a Christian. But what did the gospel do? It transformed him into this bold propagator and teacher of the faith. What the grace of God did for Paul, it can do for you and me. I've already mentioned sometimes hard to relate to Paul because he was such a man of God. But let us remember this. The best of men are men at best. Paul was made of the same stuff that we are. Boldness didn't come naturally to him. He wasn't born with some natural ability to boldly preach Christ's gospel. Again, he was sometimes afflicted with fear and trepidation. It didn't come naturally to him, and it won't come naturally to us. But what the grace of God did for him, what it was powerful enough to do for him, so it can do for us. It can be a reality for every Christian. And secondly, it can be a reality for every situation. Notice again how he introduces the verse, for I am not ashamed. Remember how I said that word for begs the question, why aren't you ashamed of the gospel, Paul? Well, we'll back up and see where he's come. Look what he said in verse 14. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He goes, I have an obligation to preach the gospel to Greeks and barbarians. And then he says in verse 15, so therefore, because of this obligation, I'm ready. I'm ready to fulfill my obligation. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. Well, why are you so ready to preach the gospel? Because I'm not ashamed of it. Paul says, look at what he's trying to say. The gospel, he's saying, I'm not ashamed of it. Why? Because it works for every type of man, whether educated or uneducated, rich or poor, religious or irreligious. It can work for Greeks. It can work for barbarians. It can work for the wise. It can work for the unwise. Verse 15, it can work in every situation, in every city. He goes, I'm ready to come to Rome, the heart of paganism, the heart of sin, the most wicked city we know. And in that place, the gospel will work. The gospel will work in Rome. It'll work in anywhere. You read the book of Acts. You look at all the situations in which Paul was able to preach the gospel without shame. Those days were dark, just like these days are dark. They were pagan, and they were sinful, and they were lewd, and they were full of unbelievers, and they were full of doubters. But it went forth triumphantly in every town and in every city to which Paul went. In whatever situation we find ourselves, a bold proclamation of the gospel does not have to elude us. It can be a reality. Let me conclude with this. And that is that we're never going to totally shake that nervous or shy feeling you get when you go to witness. It's going to follow you your entire life. But that feeling doesn't have to cripple you. It doesn't have to keep you from fulfilling your responsibility to proclaim the gospel of Christ. What you'll have to do is take your eyes off yourself and fix them, as we would say, on Christ. You'll have to look at his effectual power, that gospel indeed saves everyone who believes. You'll have to believe in that divine purpose to save sinners by means of gospel proclamation. And you'll have to let that confidence drive every evangelistic endeavor. When we witness, when we proclaim, when we preach, these are the means of evangelism that God has ordained to bless. And thus they will be the only refuge we can have from shame. Let us today look to Christ, if I can use that phrase. Focus our spiritual eyes and confidence on him. And then go out and boldly proclaim the gospel, believing that it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul would say, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. And we thank you for its power and its truth. And Lord, just give us a real awareness of the power of the gospel and burn that power upon our hearts. Impress upon our hearts just how able you are to save sinners. You can do all thy will, that you will fulfill your purpose. And we can rest in you as a place of confidence and as a place of freedom. Give us boldness, I pray. Send each of us out, Lord, and give us a ministry of evangelism with sinners. Give us opportunity to speak to sinners, even if we're not seeking it out. Give us opportunity to speak to sinners. Wherever we may be, whatever men come our way, whatever types of people we face, Lord, give us, root our confidence in thee and unloose our lips to speak the gospel of Christ. We thank you for your mercy, that for every lost opportunity we've ever squandered away, you are still merciful. You are forgiving, and you will indeed give us thy help. So we commit these needs to you and ask for thy help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.